I want you to find your Bibles this morning to the book of John, John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Would you stand with me as we read God's Word? John chapter 3. I got at the top of my message here that I wrote down this morning to make sure. I said, be yourself. So that's all I can be. Amen. And Amen. It's good to be saved.
Amen.
Amen. John chapter 3. Beginning in verse 22, the Bible says, after these things came Jesus and his disciples in the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptized in an aeon near to Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. In verse 30, he must increase and I must decrease. That's where my text is today. He must increase and I must decrease. The title of my message is, Decreasing is Better. Decreasing is better. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to meet with us. Father, thank You so much for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for every one of us. Thank You, Lord, for the Holy Spirit of God that indwells in us once we get saved. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for the Bible that we can open up. Learn about You. Thank You, Lord, for the prayer that we can have and come boldly to the throne of grace. We need You today. You know this preacher needs You today. Lord, I'm praying right now. Oh, God, I pray that I know Satan wants to bind somebody this morning. He wants to show up and he wants to discourage somebody. He wants to put somebody asleep, lull them to sleep. Oh, God, I pray that You'll build a hedge around this place, this sacred place, Lord, that You've lifted up. Lord, help me. May You get all the glory. I pray all this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. What an institute to come to. That you, can I give you a challenge before I give you my real challenge? If you have a parent, an uncle, aunt, whatever it may be, I challenge you to write them a letter this week. Maybe you already have. And say, Mom and Dad or whoever helped you get here, write them just a little note and say, thank you so much for letting me come to this place. Amen? Amen? Amen. Now, I teach at a local Christian school, and most of them, a lot of them, goes there Southern Baptist or whatever. So when I come in, I use my King James Bible, and then they say I'm the Amen preacher. That when I'm known about, they said, you're the Amen, because I guess the rest of them don't say anything about AM, but I say Amen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Don't you die on me today. Amen. And so write them a letter. Let them know how thankful you are, because it is a blessing, amen, that you're here. Amen? Amen. It is. Count your blessings. Amen. In John chapter 3, we see that there are many powerful statements and verses in John 3. I tell our folks up in Virginia, in Southern Virginia, that train your brain when the preacher or the teacher or something says something. When they turn to certain places in the Bible, train your brain. Say, oh yeah, he's going to John chapter 3. All of you in here, I'm sure, knows that you're thinking, oh, he's going to John chapter 3. He's going to talk about Nicodemus being born again. I'm not, but that's in there. He's going to be talking about John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. That's in there. But I'm going to come here in verse 22 down through verse 30. And then another profound statement that John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. When Dr. Bill asked me to come, I was shocked. I thought maybe he didn't lost his mind. But I was very privileged that you called me. I don't take this lightly. I told him a while ago, I said, I might mess up, I might stumble on words, but I promise you it's not because I tried and I studied. I couldn't half sleep last night, Brother Keith. I mean, I woke up 1,000 times. I want to say this real quick. About a week ago, on a Saturday night, I started thinking about this message, and it was 1:30 then, and I didn't open up, and it then got to be about a 2-hour message. And I'm thinking, how am I going to bring this down to about a 40-minute message? I said, Lord, let me go to sleep before I get about 2.5-hour message. Anyway, amen. And I finally had to cut it back, amen. I don't know if y'all have ever done that, but anyway. But this profound statement in verse 30, he must increase and I must decrease. Oh, my. Brother John the Baptist, what a profound statement. John the Baptist had a purpose. He knew what that purpose was. And can I ask you a question? You come in here to this great institute that God has allowed you to come. Do you know your purpose in life right now? Maybe you're still finding out. But get with it, amen? Know your purpose and get on with it. Praise God. John the Baptist knew. Let me just say this is my challenge, my second challenge to you today before we get into the body of the message. I want us today to learn to allow Jesus Christ to increase and learn how to decrease. Amen? Amen? If we all do that, Brother Bill said, I think you can come and you might be some encouragement to our people. And that's all I want to do. You'll get profound doctrine by other people. You'll get all this and that. I just want to come encourage you today. Amen? That, hey, if God can use me, He can use you. Amen. Woo! Amen. So let's learn how to allow Jesus Christ to increase and us decrease. Four things today about John the Baptist. The first three I'm going to run right through. And the last one we'll spend a little time here. But number one about this decreasing is better. The title of my message is, number one, John's history. John's history was prophesied, as most of you already know, and John is in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. He says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. Make us straight the desert highway of our God. This is fulfilled in John chapter 1, verse 23. The Bible says here, you can turn back in your Bible there, John chapter 1, verse 23. And he said, I am the voice of one in the wilderness, one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the capital L, but it's L-O-R-D, lowercase. As said the prophet of Isaiah. I remember Dr. Comfort saying this before. The same Lord in the Old Testament is the same in the New. Amen? Amen? Amen. I remember him telling us this, brother. I believe he said one time, he said, that's what you tell the Jehovah false witness. Amen? About, hey, he's the same God in the Old Testament. He's the same in the New. Praise God. John had a history. It was prophesied. And it came to fulfillment in Luke chapter 1, if you want to turn there. Luke chapter 1, just for a second, about his history. Luke chapter 1, his birth was foretold. The Bible says that his father was named Zechariah, was a priest, and his mother was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, Zacharias and Elizabeth. He come from the priestly line there. In John chapter 1, verse 17, he is said to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. We won't look at all of the verses about John the Baptist, but just enough to, I want you to get the history here. Luke chapter 1, verse 17. The Bible says, and he shall go before him, talking about Jesus, in the spirit and the power of Elias, or Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Amen. And so he is the forerunner of Jesus Christ, is fulfilled there. While you're in Luke chapter 1, I thought it was interesting when we think about, we learn in hermeneutics and things like this here about contrast and comparison. And I thought about here a comparison and then also a contrast. Look at verse 15. It says, for he, talking about John the Baptist, the angel said this in verse 13, but it says in verse 15, and he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Verse 32. In comparison, talking about Jesus, and he shall be great. But then there's a conjunction there. We see the contrast. Then John the Baptist is going to be great in the sight of the Lord. But then Jesus is going to be shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over his house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. See the contrast there? Both of them are going to be great. But we see the contrast that Jesus is greater, amen? You see what I'm going with, and how John the Baptist, he came and he had a purpose to in life to be the forerunner, to go before Christ. Listen, can I say this? All of us have a background here today. Every one of us. You may have been saved off a church pew. I was not, but that's okay. I got saved the same way you did, by the blood of Jesus, amen, through grace, through faith, amen. And I'm telling you, all of us have a background. We all have a history like the rest of them. The ground is level at the foot of the cross, amen, amen. So number one, we see John's history, but number two, we see John's humility. John's humility. In John chapter 1, verse 27, the Bible says that he's a servant. I can see the servant of his humility. It says, he it is, John the Baptist talking in John 1, 27, he it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. Oh, my friend, can you see the servanthood of John the Baptist? He wanted to be a servant, my friend. Oh, I compare him. Listen, Moses, I believe this all my heart. I'm preaching today, so I can say it. Amen. That I think Moses was the greatest man to ever put a pair of sandals on. Amen. Anybody can be a leader of a million or a million or 2 million people, you got to give him a little applause. Amen. 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 Don't you die on me. Amen. Anyway, his humility. Oh, my friend. John also in John chapter 1 verse 29, you can turn there in John chapter 1 verse 29, you know the story there. John the Baptist was baptizing there and he saw Jesus coming down on the Jordan River and he said the next day John, verse 29, and the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen and amen. He knew who he was and he's proclaiming that, hey, listen, I've got a decrease because this man right here named Jesus, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, he's going to take away the sin of the world. Amen. He's even going to take away my sin. Praise God. The humility. We all need to have some humility or humbleness. The Bible says in James chapter 4 verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. Amen. Amen. Not only John's history and his humility, but what was John's hope? John's hope. What was his hope about being the forerunner? In verse 30, John chapter 3, verse 30, our text, we'll go back to that. He said, he, Jesus, must increase, and I, John, must decrease. We can put our name there. He, Jesus, must increase, and I, Eddie, must decrease. Oh, my. He decreased his home. His hope was that men, that all men would be drawn to Christ more and more until they understood that he was the Messiah, the anointed one that was coming. He wanted that. See, sometimes I remember after being called and then I got my church there at Rocky Mount, Virginia, Woodlawn. After a little while, we started growing and I'm thinking, God's blessing this place and it's got to be about me. I mean, I'm just Kidding. But anyway. Before I know it, I'm thinking, boy, it's going pretty good. Man, I'm telling you, God's going to use me. Boy, He don't mind knocking it props out from under you. Amen. I think all of us has went through that just a little bit. Amen. Preacher boys, go ahead and have that gusto and do that stuff. But sometimes we think we're all that in a bag of potato chips. Is that okay to say that? Okay, thank you. Amen. Oh, my friend, he had hope. John the Baptist had hope. You know what our hope ought to be? To see more, to come to Jesus Christ. Listen, during our watch, it is a great time to be alive and be in a ministry today. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, my friend, just for a little bit, we're not concerned about right now all the things and the politics and all the things that's going on around in the world. Oh, Lord, I hope and pray that something will be said in the next few minutes, even now, that will encourage you. So I said the first three, I'm going to run right through. But then number four, we see John's history, his humility, and his hope about Jesus increasing and him decreasing. So, number four, I have this. So how, preacher, do we allow Christ to increase and us decrease? How do we do it? There's many things we can go, but I've come up with three. I came up with three, and I would like to share it with you. Number one, how can we allow Him to increase? Number one, draw nigh to Him. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. That's about as plain and simple, isn't it? Amen? Amen. He said, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. It's amazing how He talks about the hands and the heart and the mind there at that time. Oh, my friend, we need the presence of God in our life. Do you hear me? Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Listen, you come to school and you get all the education you want to. I'm telling you, you get all the book learning, and that's great. You need it. Praise God. Someone told us one time that preachers, I don't know if it's true or not, but anyway, you hear a lot of things. But anyway, they say that preachers, only reason they have notes is to let you know we studied. I don't know if that's true or not, but I use my notes. Amen. Anyway, but listen, water draw nigh to Him. And I'm telling you, we need the presence of God in our life. Everything that we do, we need the presence in our life. There is a Bible verse that we use. I've used it many times, Brother Hankey, during the 4th of July area and all. And we think about our country, 2 Chronicles 7:14. That little word, if, it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall what? Humble themselves and what? Pray. And then what? Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then, the prerequisite is that then, when will I hear from heaven? Then will I forgive their sin and heal their land. But it's all that prerequisite that we've got to do that. If we'll just humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and draw nigh to Him. Amen. That's how the closer we get to Him, we descend off the scene. Amen. And we put Him where He needs to be. And that leads me to the second point. That leads me to the second point. By the way, we need to draw nigh to Him. We need His presence. We need that. The churches need that. This college needs that. The world needs this. Amen. Our nation needs it. Oh, my friend, we ought to humble ourselves. We ought to draw close to the Lord. And the closer we get to Him, we know who He is. And we don't have to have no doubt. But not only that, not drawing nigh to Him, that's how we allow Christ to increase and Him decrease. But number two, give Him the preeminence. We all know this. I know you know this. Very simple message. We ought to give Him the first place. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, you understand that? That in all things He might have the preeminence. Amen. First place. Let me ask you something. Can I ask you something? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but where is He on your priority list? Is He second or third? Is He on down? Is He up? I think sometime in all of our life, He's up top. Then sometime another, we get out of fellowship with God, and He might be second or third. Don't throw me under the bus, but I'm just telling you like it is. I hope none of you are. But I'm telling you, thank God we have 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Amen. Amen. I tell our people, brother, I said, we need to put that in our front pocket. Every Christian ought to know that by heart. If you never learn a verse in the world, you ought to learn that. Amen. Y'all have to learn that verse. You can raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Not even a preacher boy, but it's a woman over here. Ladies today. Ain't that something? Y'all don't ever listen, learn that verse. I'm telling you. When we was here, we had, Brother Lindsay, you remember we had a big old round ring and we put it around our belt loop and we had our index cards. And I had my left hip was hurting walking around. Every class was like 60 verses. And I was a country boy and I couldn't even remember one. I'm kidding. I'm down on myself a lot. Oh, my friend, what to give him first place. Where do you rank? Jesus Christ ought to be first place. I want you to place. I want you to think of this. Now, you can raise your hand if it's okay. How many of you love pizza? How many of you are hungry right now? Okay. Amen. I want you to take that visual and I want you to think about a pizza. You cut it. And I think with all my heart, I think I've done this or got one that you can get 8 slices out of a large. Is that true? Any of y'all pizza lovers, y'all probably done that? Anyway, amen. Small gets 6. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Amen. That's a pizza man right there. Amen. 8 slices. I want you to take this as far as being letting him be first place. A lot of times we take a slice of pizza and we set it aside and then we look at the 7/8. We take 1/8 of that, the 7/8, we leave it there on the table and we say, Lord, you can have those 7/8. Huh? You can have that, but this one little part that I have hid in my heart, I think I've made it. I've got saved and I'm making it pretty good as a Christian now. And I think I can handle this. You can have the rest of it if you want to, but I think I'm going to take care of this. I've done that. The 7/8 there could be that we've gave him total surrender to our family life, our married life, our children life, our finance life, our school life, our college life, our church life, on and on and on and on, our personal life, on and on. But it seems like sometimes people hold on to one slice of that pizza. We got to give it back to him, put it back in there and let him have it all. Amen. I remember when I first got saved, brother, I got saved November 23rd, 1989. I remember going to church. I sat on the second row. I didn't sit in the back row like in back row Baptist. I sat on the second row where I got spit on, whatever. They sung a song, brother. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Whew. I sat there and wept like a baby because I just got saved. Got saved on a Thursday night. Went to church on Sunday. I think it's what you're supposed to do, don't you? Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I'm trying to get in that tenor group where Brother Alton and Brother Scoville and Brother Dwight used to sing that tenor group, Down From His Glory. I've tried that at our church. I don't know what I am, but I just wanted to sing. Amen. Amen. I remember you. Amen. If he'd come up here and sing, I'd help him. Anyway, I'm just kidding. Anyway. Amen. Put the piece of pie back in there. Amen. Let him have it all. I surrender all. Oh, my friend. And then Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Praise God. Oh, my. Given the preeminence, I want to park here just for about 5 minutes, and I've got to hurry here. But I'm thinking about somebody that was really totally committed in the ministry was Apostle Paul. You remember the story there in Acts chapter 21. He'd just come off of his third missionary trip. He was coming back and he stayed there in Caesarea. And he was there and he found Philip, one of the 7, the Bible says. And he was there and he had 4 daughters and he was staying there for a while. And then there was a prophet that came back down from Judea. His name was Agabus. Some of you remember that. And he grabbed Paul's girdle and he bound his own hands and feet. And he said, and I'm paraphrasing this, he said, this girdle, who owns this, is going to be bound in Jerusalem and he's going to be handed over to the Gentiles. He's talking about the Apostle Paul. The next verse says that Luke, you know, he wrote the book of Acts, didn't he? Amen. All you first students, y'all know that, don't you? Amen. You ain't got to wait to 4 years to learn that. Amen. Yeah, amen, amen. Luke wrote the book of Acts. And he said, we and all of us pleaded with him and said, Paul, don't go, don't go. And Paul, with a broken heart, he said unto them in Acts chapter 21, verse 13, he said, what mean ye that ye weep and to break mine heart? For I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, not only am I going to be bound, but if I'm going to die, don't stop me there. That was how totally committed he was. He put Jesus Christ first. I don't know if he's asking any of us to die for him. Matter of fact, Romans chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, he says, I beseech you there, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Amen. It's a reasonable service. But he said, I don't want a dead sacrifice. I want a living. And Paul says, I'm going to keep going till he takes me. And he did. Oh, my friend, I want to make a personal application here before we finish. I was in the National Guard. I got to meet Mr. Bunn right here. Where's he at? That, back left. Yeah, he become a sergeant major, I think. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, he's back there and we got talking there. Anyway, I spent 22 years in the Army National Guard in Virginia. And I was about to retire. I was in 18 years. And I got the church at Woodlawn Baptist. Man, I was excited that God allowed me to come to Ambassador Baptist College. I read the Word of God. I learned the Word of God for these great teachers and all these people. I'm telling you, it was great. It was the most privilege I ever had in my life. Oh my, I recommend it to anybody. If you want to play basketball or something, go somewhere else. But if you want to learn the Word of God, you come right here. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, and the sergeant major just found out he passed away. Sergeant Major Glazer in Danville, Virginia, called me up and said, hey, Sergeant Hawks, he said, there's a position open and you're ready with time and grade and you deserve the E7 slot. Sergeant First Class to be Chief of Smoke. That's what we call it in the artillery, Chief of Smoke. And then you have Gunny Sergeant. There's two E7 jobs. And he called me. And I remember. It wouldn't have been a few months after I got to church and it sounded good. More money then and more money when I retire. But not just to add anything on, but I was going to be about 45 minutes down the road further to take this job. About 2 minutes, I said, Sergeant Major, I'm going to have to decline. He tried his best. He said, you deserve this. You'll be good at that job, blah, 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 whatever it may be. He was trying to build me up. And you know how the military does. They building you up and this, that, and the other. I said, but I tell you what, you don't understand. You don't understand. I don't think this guy was a saved man. I said, you don't understand. God allowed me to go to Bible college. God allowed me to get a church of all people that come from Ambassador. I got a church. I can't take that. I'm ready to retire and get on out and get on with my life because God gave this to me. I know it's a simple illustration, but I declined it because you know why? Not that I'm anybody, but I knew what I wanted to do. My purpose was to get there and get going. My purpose, the military was going downhill. That was going to leave me. I wanted to be with God's people and be God's pastor. Amen. So I had to put Him first. Sometimes you're going to have to make a choice. And when it really looks good, I believe the devil dangled a carrot over there. I said, hey, here we go, here we go. But I must hurry. Number one, how are we going to let Him increase, allow Him to increase, draw nigh to Him. Let Him go in His presence. Number two, give Him preeminence. But number three, don't miss this. Don't miss this. This is so profound. You're going to miss it. Draw nigh to Him. Give Him first place. But number three, don't miss it. Just fall in love with Him. Boy, that's real profound, isn't it? Just fall in love with Him. Just fall in love with Him. You know, the Bible says, help me to repeat this. 1 John 4:19. We love Him because... Amen. Turn, if you would, please. Real quick. I'm going to end with this. You know, a preacher ends three times, they say it. I don't know. That's my second time. Would you turn to the end of John in John chapter 21? See, you trained your brain already. You knew what's going on there when you go to John 21. You know what it is. See, I'm just very simple. That's the way I'll try to keep it. John chapter 21. Paul not falling in love with the Lord. You know the story there. Peter and six others of the disciples, Thomas and Nathaniel and James and John and two others went. And he said, I'm going fishing. He said, we're going with you. I'm going back to my old life. I'm just going to go fishing. Well, all of a sudden, Jesus there and on the sand, sea right there, the shore, come there. And, of course, they fished all night and they didn't catch nothing. And he called them children. Children, have you caught anything? Oh, my. He said, cast your nets on the right side. I'm glad Jesus don't give up on us. Amen. Y'all know who he's talking to, Peter and them. Cast your nets on the right side, he says. Hey, catch. Here's the amazing thing. They did not catch 152 or 154. They caught 153. God is it specific, isn't he not? Why 153? I have no idea. We'll get to ask him one of these days, maybe. I don't know. But he brought them in. He said, won't you come and dine? And here's the story. You know what happens? They get on the shore there in verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these others sitting there? He said unto him, yea, Lord, you know I knowest I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. Feed the baby Christians. Verse 16, he said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my sheep, more mature Christians. Verse 17, and he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was what? Grieved. Why? Because he said unto him the third time. I think we all know why. Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. You know what? Jesus just wants us to fall in love with him. Amen. We mess up. We go astray. We do this. It's like Peter and the rest of them. He denied him three times. And Jesus said, I want to make sure I get your attention. You know, the Lord will get your attention too. Amen. He'll get your attention. But ain't you glad? I use the word ain't. Is that okay? Okay, ain't. I forgot. Ain't you glad that He chastens us? Praise God. You see that allowing Jesus Christ to increase, that He may get the glory, and us decrease with humility is far better. Do you realize that? We got to draw nigh to Him. We got to put Him first. And we just got to fall in love with Him. How about you today? Will you be like John the Baptist, the Apostle Paul, these here at Ambassador Baptist College that is over you, that wants the best for you, even though it might look strenuous? They love you and they want to care for you and want to build you up. Will you learn how to allow Jesus Christ to increase and you decrease? I want to say this, decreasing is better.